Good evening. Good evening. So once again, it's good to be back at the house of the Lord tonight. And thankful for another opportunity that he's given us to be able to stand for him once again tonight. And just be able to come to his house tonight. And, it's a real privilege for us as God's children to be able to gather ourselves together at his house. The Bible, it tells us to forsake not the assembling amongst yourselves. And church, I'm going to tell you, if you're here tonight and you have been saved by the Lord's grace and you have been led to unite with his church body, not necessarily here at a hilltop, but whether it be my church at Oak Forest, wherever it might be, you have an obligation to be there when the doors are open, and you have an obligation to be growing in grace. And it is without a doubt the most important work that you can do here on this earth. There's a lot of important jobs that's out there on this earth, whether or not it be a doctor that's out here healing the sick, or whether or not it be a police officer that's helping to keep the peace, or whatever it might be. We look at them and say, well, you know, those are grand jobs right there. They do have their place, and they're certainly important here on this earth. But the most important work that you can be doing is what you do for your Lord here tonight. As we're gathered here tonight, church, I just want to encourage each and every one of us tonight to just find our place in the service here tonight. We don't know what's on anybody's heart tonight. We don't know where anybody stands with the Lord tonight, except for herself. I'm the only person that I can speak for when it comes to salvation. And I don't say that in any way, form of bragging or anything, but simply because I know what the Lord done for me the night that he saved my soul. It was actually, I guess I had another spiritual birthday one night last week, the night that he saved my soul over at New Salem Missionary Baptist over in Allen County. And I can take you to that spot and tell you exactly what the Lord done for me there that night. He's the one that told me it wasn't of man. It wasn't going up and shaking a preacher's hand. It wasn't repeating a prayer, but it was just simply because I got my heart in the right condition to turn to him. And friend, tonight, if you're out there and you don't have that time and place, well, I would encourage you tonight to seek the Lord out while he may be found. And church, I would encourage us tonight to just follow the leadership of the Lord. You know, as I say it a lot of times, I ask a question at church, what have you brought with you tonight? And, church, I'm not necessarily speaking about with us, you know, the diaper bag that we brought with us tonight, or a couple of snacks for the kiddos or anything like that, but what have you brought with you tonight in the Lord's house that's of the world that's going to keep you from serving him tonight? And I would encourage you, church, to just put it aside. Take it outside. Leave it there at the door. It'll be there when you leave. Don't worry about it. It will be there. But this is the Lord's time. And church, I just encourage us all, just follow his leadership tonight. You know, if I don't get an opportunity to preach tonight, well, I'll be fine with that as long as the Lord's pleased with it. But I just encourage each and every one of us to follow his leadership tonight. This altar is always open. If you're out there and you know that you're lost and separated from the Lord, I would encourage you, friend, to come to this altar tonight and to pray. We'll pray with you. We'll pray for you. But we cannot pray that prayer that will get you into heaven. That has to come from you. There's no other person that can do that for you. The Bible, it tells you to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And tonight, if the Lord is dealing with you, we would encourage you to seek him out while he may be found. You're not going to bother me in any way, form, or fashion. But once again, we do appreciate the church granting us opportunity to come this way once again. And we will ask, be a word on anybody's heart before we get into our reading lesson for tonight. If not, I've seen my preaching brothers tell you a thing about preaching. A lot of times you'll get a thought on you, and you think, well, you know, that's kind of nice, because I was just studying on that a while ago, a little definition I wrote down I thought I could use tonight, and there it is. Sometimes you give burden that you're going to preach on something, the Lord change it on you. And we had a thought come to us this evening after church this evening. I rode around, checked on some cattle and everything, sort of meditated a little bit. And I had a thought that came to us and should be familiar reading to us. If you have your Bibles, you want to read along with us. I'm going to invite you over to the book of John for a few moments of time tonight, and I don't know how lengthy it will be, but we're going to be reading from the 8th chapter. And we're going to start with the 3rd verse here. It tells us, "And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery, and when they had set her in the midst, they said to him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned, but what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down, and with his finger wrote on the ground, as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said to him, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said to her, Women, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said to her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. And I'm going to stop right there with the reading for right now. And as we get in this message tonight, the thought I want to try to establish tonight and try to touch on, and I guess a title on the message, if you will, which I generally don't title a message, but it would be that God's grace is greater than our sin. You know, as we get in this message this morning, we know the woman there that was brought before him. She had been caught in the act of adultery. She had been caught in a sinful act. And as the Pharisees was, as they tried to still uphold the old Mosaic law under the old laws that Moses had given, that was given there, she was to be stoned there for her transgression. She was to be killed because of the law that she had broke there. But yet we know that Christ there, and I know that Christ, he knew her heart, I'm sure, before she even got there to him. He knew the very act that she had done. He knew all things about her, just as he does each and every one of us that's gathered here tonight. The Bible tells us that he even knows the very number of hairs upon our head. And I like to joke sometimes and say, you know, when it comes to me, he don't have to count too long because there's just not much there to begin with. But our Lord, he knows each and every one of us. He knows each and every one of us better than we know ourselves. He knows what's on the morrow for each and every one of us. He knows even though we might be out here, and just as the Pharisees was, they would try to live a godly life out in public so people would look at them and try to build them up as being godly. But yet each and every one of them, just as us, the best that we can do, the Bible tells us that we all sin and fall short daily of the glories of God. And that if we say that we sin not, that we make God a liar. And friends, I want us to understand, there's none of us that can live above this thing known as sin. But yet when it comes to sin, friend, I want you to understand tonight that that sin comes with a cost to it. You know, the Bible tells us that the wages of sin is death. That is something that each and every one of us will have to answer for sometime. You go out these old graveyards that's out there, And you know, Brother Mark, people might say, well, you know, this is so-and-so, and well, that ain't going to work. Bear with me here one second. They might say, well, this is so-and-so. You know, he died of cancer a few years ago, or this cause or that cause. But friend, ultimately, it's just the price of sin that they had to pay there. And it's something that each and every one of us will have to answer for someday. I don't care if you're the man that's out here that's giving your last dime to a homeless man out here on the street. I don't care if you're out here visiting with the sick and elderly every day. I don't care if you've never took the Lord's name in vain. I don't care if you've never said a curse word. I don't care if you've never stolen anything. You will still have sin in your life. There's nothing that we can do. We was born into sin according to, excuse me, Paul. It's through the transgression of one known as Adam that sin entered into this world. You read about that on the book of Genesis. Should be familiar reading to all of us. Because of the transgression of him, this thing known as sin entered into the world, and each and every one of us has to answer for it. You see, we take on that form of Adam. You see, there comes a time in our life, friend, where the Lord lets us know we're no longer covered under the law. You know, these young ones who unfortunately get called out of this world before that age of accountability, you see, they're still covered by the Lord there. They're still covered under that old law there. They're just as bound for heaven as they can be. But you see, there comes a time in our lives where we reach that age of accountability, that time that the Lord lets us know that this thing known as sin has come in between us and him, and that we're no longer covered by the old law there. Just as this woman was, who was brought before Christ there, you see, the Pharisees was ready to stone her there by the commandment. You see, it was a commandment given there that if you lived in adultery back then, that you had to be stoned, you had to be killed right there. And friend, I want you to understand, because of the transgression, the breaking of God's law, you will die someday. You will leave this whole earth someday. That's just a part of it. We don't like to talk about it a lot of times, but that's just part of being human. That's the price that we have to pay. But see, friend, I want you to understand, you see, there's much more to it than that. You see, the Bible, it tells us that the wages of sin is death, sure, but then after that, the judgment. But see, after you leave this old world here, you're going to stand before your God someday. The Bible, it tells us every knee's going to bow and every tongue's going to confess him. You will stand before him someday, and friend, you will stand before him either prepared or unprepared to meet him. You see, friend, I don't care what this world might teach you. When you get to the heaven, when you're standing there before the Lord, you ain't going to have no second chances. You ain't going to have an opportunity to make things right there. You know, the world might teach you, and people might teach you, well, you know, if you just live your life good enough, you'll get in heaven. Friend, I'm going to tell you, my Bible does not back that one bit. Over in the book of Ephesians, it actually tells us that salvation is of faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. You know, Brother Mark, I had a talk with a man one time we was talking about, and he was trying to convince me on good works and everything, and how dangerous that our doctrine is, that we don't believe in, or that we do believe in eternal security, and how dangerous that doctrine is. And I made a statement to him. I said, well, let me ask you this, friend. I said, if it is possible for me to live my life good enough to get into heaven, then I guess Christ had to come and die in vain, didn't he? Because I could have done it on my own self, and you know what? That would be giving the honor and the glory to me, and he deserves it all. I sort of got off track there a little bit. Friend, I want you to understand today, if you're out there and you're lost and you're separated from our Lord, I want you to understand there is a second death that's awaiting you, friend. It's a place that's known as hell. It's a place that the Bible tells us was not prepared for mankind, but was prepared for the devil and his angels. It was Satan, that great serpent, which tempted Eve, which ultimately caused the transgression through Adam. It wasn't through Eve that sin entered into the world. It was through Adam. But yet, ultimately, it was because Satan tempted them. And friend, I want you to understand today, that place known as hell is prepared for him today. And friend, I want you to understand today that he's going to do everything that he can, if you're out there and you're lost and separated from our Lord, to drag you down with him. You know, I thought, I forget where I seen it at the other day, but I seen something someplace to talk about. If you really want to think about how precious your soul is, you think about it, it was precious enough that Satan himself is trying to get it all time, and it's precious enough that our Lord and Savior came and laid his life down for it. Amen. Friend, that's pretty precious. Friend, this place known as hell is real. The Bible tells us, Solomon does over in some of his writings, that where there is no vision, the people should perish. And friend, I want you to understand tonight, you might be out there, you might be under conviction tonight. The Lord might be dealing with you tonight, and Satan, he might be telling you, well, you've got plenty of time, friend. I want you to understand, you do not have that guarantee, friend. There's people that since the very moment that we stepped in this church, Lord, we've been here just a few minutes tonight. There's people that's passed from this side of eternity and opened their eyes up in that place known as hell. And friends, some of them I've had every intention of, next Sunday I'll go to that altar. Or next Sunday I will start going to church. Or next Sunday I'll do this or that. They had every intention. And friend, I want you to understand precious, brittle thread of life was snapped just like that. And friend, it can happen to you too. But our Lord's grace is much greater than the sin that you commit. You see, the Bible, it tells us that there was one who stood before the very foundations of the world as a lamb slain, one known as Christ. You know, brother, I believe he was there. We think of our Christ and everything. We think, well, he was born here on this earth. And that was the beginning of him. But friend, I'm going to tell you, you can look over the book of Genesis and it tells you right there, God said, let us make man in our own image. You see, he was there at that time. And friend, I'm going to tell you, he knew before the very creation of this world, he knew before the very creation of mankind, that mankind would not be able to keep God's law. He knew that that law would be transgressed. And he knew that there was ever to be a way back to our Lord, that he would have to come and lay his life down on that cross at Calvary, being a perfect sacrifice, a lamb without blemish, one, the only one that could be perfect enough to wash our sins away. And friend, he understands you tonight. Let's talk about that definition. Guys, I'm going to tell you, I just want y'all to look at this simply because I don't write down a sermon or anything. I just want y'all to see it. Don't want nobody getting mistaken, think, well, Brother David's writing out a sermon. I just out of respect. I mean, we talk about that word grace, and my mind anymore, I can't remember anything hardly. And I looked up that definition. You know, it tells us that grace is an unmerited divine reassurance given to humans for the regeneration or sanctification, a virtue coming through God, a state of sanctification enjoyed through divine intervention. That came from Webster's there. We sang that song, Amazing Grace. You see, our Lord has grace when it comes to us. He understands in this whole fleshly body that we are going to sin. We are going to fall short daily. You see, friend, you have the understanding now that when you leave this life, you're going to be in one of two places, either heaven or hell. You see, this gospel warning has been going out to this world for ages, and friend, it has not changed any. You see, you have that understanding. And friend, I want you to understand, if you wake up in that place known as hell, just like I stated earlier, the Bible tells us that's a place where there's gnashing of teeth and the worm dieth not. You ever think about that gnashing of teeth? You ever seen somebody in so much pain, they just sort of grit their teeth and everything? Sometimes they're grinding their teeth and everything like that. Well, I tell you what, that's great pain right there. That's going on in hell right now. Their worm dieth not. Friend, I want you to understand death will be right there with you in the very end. You know, you can look over in the book of Revelations, and you know, the Bible even tells us that when the Lord sees fit to come back and to end this whole world here, and when that separation comes, and friend, those of us that's been saved by His grace is going to be on the right hand of Him. And those, the goats that have not been saved are going to be on the left hand of Him. And they're going to be cast off into that place known as hell. Friend, I want you to understand there's still one enemy that's going to be cast off into hell. The very last enemy to be cast off. And it's not the devil, but it's death himself. You see, he's going to be destroyed. He'll be right there with you. And you're not going to die in that place known as hell. It is for all eternity. You turn on the book of Luke and you read about a rich man, a man named Lazarus over there. You think about how long ago that was written there, and that poor old rich man right now, and though he fared sumptuously in this world, he had all the great things that he wanted, and Lazarus was there gathered at his gate just begging for the crumbs that fell from his table. The Bible tells us, just like I stated earlier, they both had to die. One of them was ready and one of them was not. You see, Lazarus, at some point or another, he came to realization of what he was. You might say, well, preacher, what is that? What is it that I am? And I want you to understand, even myself, as I stand before you here tonight, you turn on over in the book of Luke also, and you can read about two men who went to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a publican. And friend, I want you to understand tonight, if you're out there and you're lost and you're separated from the Lord, you're going to have to come to grips with your condition. You ever thought about that? What's the first thing somebody has to do when they're lost? You know, Brooke and I, we might get out sometime, take a ride around. I know, especially when we first start dating and everything, we go out, go for a ride someplace. I'd want to take her some places I grew up around and everything. She didn't grow up in Allen County. We go riding around and everything. She'd be like, well, you know where we are, yeah? I think it's up here. You know where we are? Yeah, I know. Just don't worry. And I'd finally have to come to realization I'm lost. I had to admit it to myself first. We got to do that, lost friend, before you can ever take that first step to the Lord. And friend, I want you to understand, just as that Pharisee was, when you realize that you are lost, and when you realize that's because of sin, you know, that Pharisee who went to the temple, the Bible tells us that as he prayed there, he was thanking God that he was not as other man was, and how he would do all these good things here. And he even made the statement that he thanked that he was not even as his publican was here. You see, he was boastful. He was trying to build himself up in the sight of the Lord, if you will, trying to make himself worthy of a spot in heaven, trying to make himself worthy when it came to the Lord. But yet our Bible tells us that our God, He is not a respecter of persons. And lost friend, if you're out there, our God, He doesn't care about all the good works that you might be doing here in this world. They're not going to get you to heaven. You see, there's still one thing that's missing there. You see, that publican, they said he wouldn't even lift his eyes up off his breast, but instead spoke there saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. You see, lost soul, you're going to have to come to the realization, first of all, that you're lost. And second of all, you're going to have to come to the realization that you're a sinner in the sight of the Lord. And that is what He wants. I mean, the night that the Lord saved my soul, I finally got to that point where I was brought down so low, I could sort of see myself in His eyes, if you will. I was just a sinner in need of His grace and in need of His mercy. You see, that place known as hell was going to be my home, friend. I could have been called out of that world or out of this world at any time there, and I would have been cast off in that lake of fire. And I was in need of a Savior, and I went to Him that night, and He saved my soul. Amen. Lost friend, when you get to that point where you realize you can't do nothing besides turn to the Lord, that's where you're going to have to be. It doesn't matter what you might think about yourself. It doesn't matter what other people might tell you about yourself. You're going to have to come to the realization that in the Lord's eyes, you're just a sinner in need of His mercy. The Bible, it tells us that He is a rewarder, I believe, over in Hebrews, of them that diligently seek Him. And lost friends, you're going to have to diligently seek Him out. That grace that we talked about can be yours, friend. This place known as hell, you don't have to go there. If you go, it's of your own accord. You have been warned. The Lord has tried to deal with you. You know that knocking that you feel on your heart. And the Bible, it tells us over in the book of 2 Corinthians, I believe the 7th chapter, that's godly sorrow which worketh repentance. Now I think of that word, worketh, meaning to bring about something. You see, you've got to have that, friend. You have got to have that. Now you can do like I did when I was younger and I was lost. And you can push it aside and push it aside all that you want to. I'm going to tell you, the Lord will not be where He is not wanted, and He will let you go right off in that place known as hell. It's not His will, and He's not the one that suits you there. You went of your own accord, because His grace is much greater than the sin that you commit. And He wants to save your soul tonight, friend. The Bible tells us that God so loved the world, again going back, that lamb slain before the very foundations of the world, that He sent His only begotten Son, that whosoever shall believe in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Friend, I want you to understand, I don't care what you might have done in this life, I don't care the deeds that you might have done in the past, that whosoever shall includes you. You can read over in the book of Acts about one who was known as Saul, who was brought low on the road to Damascus and was saved there. And friend, I'm going to tell you, he's one of the greatest contributors to God's Word right here that there ever was, the Apostle Paul. You see, he was a persecutor of the church. He had several killed. He would do everything he could to stop this movement known as Christianity, the church that was taking hold there. But yet even he was brought low and was saved on that road to Damascus. I want you to think about that. A man who persecuted our God's own church. His grace was good enough to even save him. And friend, he will save you if you'll just turn to him. His grace is much greater than our sins. I want you to understand, friend, you will face eternity someday. You will pass from this world, whether or not it be a physical death, whether or not the Lord comes back and catches you unprepared, you will leave this world. And that door of mercy is going to be shut to you forevermore. He's going to look upon you there, and you're going to be bowed down there, I think. I don't think, you know, I've heard people say, well, when I get there, I'll plead my case. Friend, I tell you, you're going to be too terrified to even say a word, I think. And he's just going to look at you. There's one thing that he's going to be looking for, that blood of his son. Is it applied to your soul or is it not? Just as the passing of the angel of death in the days of Pharaoh, in the days of Moses, instruction was given to the children of Israel there to take the blood of the lamb there and to put on the post there and above the door entrance there is a sign that was symbolic of that blood of his son, which will come later. If it's not applied, he will tell you that moment, depart from me, you worker of iniquity, for I never knew you. And I want you to think how terrible that will be. To be cast off from God. To be cast off from your loved ones that's been saved. You know, the Bible, going back to that rich man and Lazarus, you know, Abraham told that rich man there, besides this, there's a great gulf fixed here so that they cannot go, or that you cannot go. They could look over there and they could see him over there in heaven. That rich man, he saw Lazarus over there being comforted. But friend, I'm going to tell you, we're not going to care. I don't even think we're going to know you. I don't even know that we're going to know about those in hell. But friends, you will be able to look over there and see your saved loved ones rejoicing in that place known as heaven. Simply because you failed to heed the warning of the gospel. Friend, you have tonight, if the Lord is dealing with you. You don't have tomorrow. That's not promised to you. That is not promised to you. We're going to get very close here in a minute. You know, Solomon, over in the third chapter of the book of Ecclesiastes, probably some of the best known scripture series, tells us about time and season for everything. They made a big song about it years ago. Friend, I want you to understand, if the Lord is dealing with you, it is time to be seeking Him. He wants to save your soul. He don't want to cast you off in that place known as hell. If you go, it will be of your own accord. This has been our message tonight. Don't know who it was intended for. I just hope that our grounds was prepared as we came. No, Christ, He speaks a parable of the seed sower. Lost soul, I hope that your ground is prepared and good ground where this word will really get into your heart and that you'll come to the realization of what's awaiting you someday. Church, y'all have a revival coming up. I would encourage you, be getting your grounds prepared. Amen. We don't need these seeds going off into hard rock and into places where weeds come up and smother them out. It needs to get in a spot where it can grow and bring forth fruit. Brother Mark, song leader, we'll turn service back over to y'all. Let's just mind the Lord tonight.